Okay, let's get to the page. We are about ready to go. What do you think?
I think so.
Well, we just got back, so we might as well get going, right?
Welcome, everyone.
All right. It's been a Stephen King heavy summer, right?
No doubt. No doubt, man. It's not over with yet.
We can talk regular.
Yeah.
So we don't have to keep it down for the kids.
Okay.
They're inside.
Okay.
Put phones over here, though, so we don't get that weird...
Well, I got the airplane mode on and my new stuff.
I'm just going to set mine over here so it's not
close.
Okay, guys. Scotty and I just got 10 minutes ago. We got done watching It.
It. Stephen King's It.
And this is episode 49, where we discuss having just watched It. So, in short, loved it or hated it?
Oh, loved it. Very rarely say a remake is better than an original. This one definitely blew the original away.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, there's a whole lot of stuff they could put in a rated R
movie compared to a made-for-TV movie.
Back in 1990.
Right.
Which, to be fair, you know... The original, the 1990 version, for what it was...
It was damn good.
It was damn good. It was quite frightening. Well, we'll get into all that. It's time to talk about... Dun-dun-dun.
Old business.
We'll get into old business in a minute. Let's talk about our show.
Yes, let's bring that up.
We feel like we've lost about 2 weeks of promotion time and talking about stuff because of Hurricane Harvey. We talked on the last episode how I was mucking out a house that day that we recorded our the Hurricane Harvey episode, last episode, number 48. And it just keeps going. Like, there's just more and more crap needing to happen and needing to go on. So, but the show is on. The hotel did not get damaged. Scary Dad didn't get damaged.
Vendors did not cancel.
Other Scary Dad didn't get damaged. Vendors didn't cancel. So it's game on. So once again, $10 at the door. Kids are free. We've got a movie room. We've got a vampire who's going to be doing tarot readings. We've got a massage therapist. We've got a bakery.
We've got authors.
We've got authors, we've got movie directors, we've got comic books, we have got toys, we've got arts and crafts, collectibles, costume contests for the kids, costume contests for grown-ups, door prizes, sponsorship door prizes, Vampirella posters, what else?
Oh, books, we've got DVDs, we've got tons of giveaways.
So it's going to be outstanding. So
we'll have the Virus Vixen Girls there giving away shots and samples.
Absolutely. Want to give a shout out to all of our sponsors. We've got Virus Vodka going to be sending out the Virus Vixens. We have got Kingwood Asylum providing us with some tickets for giveaways. We've got the Texas Renaissance Festival providing some tickets for giveaways.
We've got the Alamo Draft House giving away some tickets and movie posters.
That's right. So big shout out to those guys. Big shout out to all of our vendors who stuck with us, even though their houses were getting threatened with the Brazos River. Susie in particular, you pulled through. hope to see you there. hope you guys all come out and buy one of Susie's wreaths. They're badass. So that's enough about the show. Just be there.
And if you want to come out and you haven't seen it yet, it'll be playing in the theater right next door.
Absolutely. Okay, so now into old business. Pretty short history segment, thank God, because we got a lot to talk about tonight. Okay, so this date, 324 AD, Constantine defeats Licinius in the Battle of Chrysopolis, establishing sole control over the Roman Empire. If it wasn't for this particular battle, the name Constantine might not hold as much weight as it normally
does. Right.
All right. It's not really scary unless, you know, you're looking at your pocketbook there, but in 1837, Tiffany & Company is established. So, the purveyors of fine and quite expensive trinkets.
Yes, even their boxes are expensive. They fetch a little price on eBay.
Yeah. Okay, 1851, the first New York Daily Times, which is the New York Times,
right,
was published. That would be an interesting first edition to have.
Yeah, it would be.
You know? Probably wouldn't be a pop with the three-color jobs that they have right. in Batman comics, but it would be kind of neat. I wonder what they thought was important news of the day.
Or advertisements. That's what I always enjoy, seeing mm-hmm. old advertisements.
All right, now we're into body counts. 1906, a typhoon with a tsunami kills 10,000 people in Hong Kong.
Wow.
It's hurricane season, man.
Yep. Yep.
And then, you know, always got war. 1964, on this date, the North Vietnamese began the infiltration of the South Vietnamese. Fun.
Then you have a long drug-out war.
All right, happy birthday, some in memoriam, but happy birthday. 1905, Greta Garbo, mm-hmm. star of stage and screen.
Yep.
1926, comic book artist Joe Kubert. 1933, Beretta himself, Robert Blake.
Robert Blake.
You think he killed his wife?
I don't think he did. Just because of the way, whenever the police interview went, he pretty much said, I thought about killing her. I wish I would have killed her, but I didn't kill her. You don't say that if you did. You know, you say, no, I didn't kill her.
Right.
You know?
1939, Fred Willard. Comedian. He's been in everything.
Yes.
From Spinal Tap and Waiting for Guffman.
He's a great actor.
Best
great
in Show. Character. Yeah. He's always just that happy guy that's going to be there, like, probably awkwardly saying the wrong thing, and it's just hilarious.
His bit in Best in Show was just incredible. He was just annoying his co-host so much. Can they put costumes on the dogs? Like, put a little Sherlock Holmes hat and a pipe on the bloodhound?
1961, James Gandolfini. 1971, Lance Armstrong. Here's another one. Do you think he did it?
Lance Armstrong.
The bicycle guy.
Oh, yes. As far as the performance enhancing, yes.
I'm joking. He said he did it. He went on over. He's like, I did it. I just don't care.
I know.
Okay? I don't care about steroids. Like, they say, oh, well, it's not fair. Well, you know what's also not fair? Having a dad who forces you to play baseball 18 hours a day and, you know, takes you to baseball camp and makes you throw balls through, you know, tire swings and,
right.
you know, jacks you all up and makes you intense and all of this stuff and going to college and playing baseball and then getting a job in baseball and being a baseball player. I think if there's some, you know, sort of chemical enhancement that's available that can make you a better player.
To find the edge, yeah.
You know, that's a risk you got to take. I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, it's like, oh, well, it's dangerous. It'll hurt you. Well, so will boxing.
Right.
You know, football gives you concussions. I just really don't care. I figure, hey.
Nah, give us the biggest, strongest athletes you can. Just let them do it any way they want.
Right. I mean, if that's what they want to do. Captain America is the result of steroids.
Yeah, performance enhancing drugs.
I mean, come on. Okay, 1971, Jada Pinkett Smith. I don't know if she was ever in anything scary.
I don't think she's ever been in anything scary, but her husband has been in a couple of movies that were
yeah.
thrillers, I guess you could say.
1973, James Marsden. Cyclops from the X-Men movies.
Okay.
I don't know. He just was on there. Whatever. I can't really say I'm a fan.
No.
Okay, notable deaths. On this date in 1970, we lost Jimi Hendrix.
That's one of the great ones.
That is one of the great ones. That's one of those ones that should go on conspiracy theories.
Yeah, one of my favorite albums is the one he did with Timothy Leary, where he just kind of played background music to Timothy Leary, just reading off some of his
talking
his
about work. Weird stuff.
Yeah, it is excellent. Very, very good.
Yeah, I remember when I was first introduced to Jimmy, like, God, I was probably like 12,
mm-hmm.
11, 12, I don't know. But somebody had done a cover of a Jimi Hendrix song. And I want to say, was it Purple Haze or something like that? But anyway, some shitty like 80s pop band had did a cover of a Jimi Hendrix song, and it was on a mixtape.
Okay.
And it was in my boombox, and my dad came in and like stopped and literally was like, "Is that Purple Haze?" And I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "Oh no, 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 no!" And he went and got the experience and put it on the record player, right. And he was like, "This is Purple Haze." And I remember just being like, just completely blown away. And again, being a kid, no mind-altering drugs, no alcohol, not even years away from that mindset completely. But I could see the notes.
Right.
Like, floating around the air. It was so psychedelic in the way he just crafted
so
it all.
So much of his music, yeah.
I mean, it was a visual experience listening to that record for the first time.
Right.
And I've been a fan ever since.
Oh, yeah.
At one point, I think I had I had all of his studio records.
There are many music lovers that can't appreciate Jimi Hendrix. Pretty much everyone can't appreciate what he did.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there's a lot of bands, and I'll come out and say it. Like, I've never really been a fan of Led Zeppelin. Like, they're all right, but they're also way overplayed.
Yeah.
So, in, like, it's just one of those things. It's like, their all rightness is kind of, like, overshadowed by the fact that they're played, like, 80 times a day. So,
right.
But I can appreciate, like,
there's select songs from Led Zeppelin that I really, really love.
But I understand the talent, the musicianship, the structures. Like, I get it. I just don't enjoy it. I like make a funny thing. Like, there's a couple of bands out there. I'm like, they're really, really good at playing songs that I don't want to listen to.
Yeah.
Right? Jimi Hendrix, I can understand people that maybe don't get it. But it's... I don't get what... I guess. It's like, it's just pure poetry.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just gorgeous. So, like... Jimi Hendrix Experience is probably my top 10 bands of all time of just music.
Right.
Like, not specific album, but just records, just right. songs. Notable deaths in 2004, we said goodbye to Russ Meyer, Mr. Double D himself.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, man had a passion.
Yeah, he went with it. He explored it.
Well, some people they don't let that light shine.
He did.
And that is it right now for old business. What you got for new business?
Well, just staying on the death subject. Recently lost Len Wein,
mm-hmm.
who was one of the greats as far as I'm concerned when it comes to comic book creation, because he co-created one of my favorite my favorite character, Swamp Thing.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people know him better for being one of the co-creators of Wolverine. Some of the other ones that he helped out, Nightcrawler, Storm, and he also was editor for Alan Moore's Watchmen series, which mm-hmm. Watchmen, a lot of people credit for just changing the face of comic books, period, at a time when it needed help.
It made the characters real.
Right.
It put them in real life situations, or at least tangibly real life situations. You mm-hmm. you accept that you live in a world with superpowered individuals, but who would they be as people?
Right.
You know, what kind of thing, you know, what kind of personality crisis might they have?
Right.
You know.
And Watchmen explored that.
Absolutely.
When it comes to horror, some of the titles that he worked on were House of Mystery, House of Secrets, and Weird War Tales. Which I don't know if you ever read any Weird War Tales, but those are very weird war tales. Those are always fun to check out.
House of Secrets, House of Mystery, especially stuff from the 70s as I can get it. I recently ran across, well, you were there, but I got a big old handful of old House of Mysteries and Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Bernie Wrightson did the covers on all of them. And I think that Len Wein did some of the writing on him okay. as well. Okay. If he didn't do the writing, he did some of the editing.
Okay. Well, rest in peace, Mr. Len Wein. He definitely one of the greats.
Absolutely.
Do you remember the name Leslie Van Houten?
The name sounds familiar, but remind me.
She was the youngest of the Manson family involved in the Tate murders.
Okay.
She was recently granted parole after 40 years in jail.
Jesus.
Now, the thing about it is she's been granted parole before. And the Governor Jerry Brown said, that's okay. You're staying in jail. So she's still waiting to see if that the same thing's going to happen. But
wow.
As a 19-year-old young woman, she was at the scene of the crime. What she ended up doing, her part in it, she tied a pillowcase around Rosemary LaBianca's head and held her down as others stabbed her. And then whenever Tex Watson, one of the other members, told her, you need to do something, she grabbed the knife and stabbed the woman 14 times. So she was very complicit in the crime.
Yeah.
But she has been granted parole, so over the next 120 days, we'll see if she actually gets out or not.
Stupid California.
Recent trailer for the Flatliners reboot does show that it's not a secret anymore. Kiefer Sutherland will be involved in the project, redoing his role as Dr. Nelson, just a very older version of him. And last but not least, I found this little article having some facts about Jason Voorhees I thought would be fun to just nice. Kick around. Jason Voorhees was almost named Josh.
Wouldn't have worked.
It wouldn't have worked at all. Victor Miller, who was the creator of Jason, initially named the character after his son, Josh. They realized that it wouldn't be appropriate, considering that Josh also has another meaning of to joke around. And they could be appropriate for it, like somebody running around, calling out of Crystal Lake and killing everybody. So they kind of kiboshed that one. That one wasn't used. Another interesting one. We all know who Pam Voorhees is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Jason's dad's name is? Jason's dad made a cameo in the comic book back in the day, and his dad was Elias Voorhees. He's depicted as a 6-foot, 200-pound alcoholic who regularly beat Pamela Voorhees and beat him while she was pregnant. So his dad is Elias Voorhees. I never knew that either. Okay. As we all know, Jason has done battle against Freddy Krueger. But before then, back in the 90s, he had a crossover comic with Leatherface, where him and Leatherface got into it a little bit. In the comics, Jason catches a train to Texas because his beloved Crystal Lake became polluted with toxic waste, where he meets his new homie, Leatherface. Once Leatherface introduces him to his family, shit goes down and gets real, real quick. Let's see what else. Jason almost had to wear an umpire's mask in the movies. Umpire mask was dropped quickly because of the time it would take to create the visible portion of Jason's deformed face. Instead, a hockey mask was used because it successfully covered the entire face that way. Jason has a real thing for blondes, you may have noticed. Almost every final girl in Friday the 13th franchise has been blonde or had some deviation of blonde hair. Whether it be dirty blonde, strawberry blonde, they've all been fair-haired ladies that he seems to...
But he kills the blondes, too.
Yes. He kills some of them, too. How many actors have portrayed Jason over the years?
I believe it's 9.
It is 9. 9 folks have donned the mask or in some way played Jason throughout the movie series. The one, of course, doing it the most was Kane Hodder. He's had the longest run.
Which is funny because he's the most iconic Jason, but he started in episode, or in part 6.
Yeah, part 7. Part 7, yeah. Actually, yeah.
So,
but he's the one that everybody kind of jumps to.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Savini is in there also, Ari Lemon, and a few other folks that I can't think of their names offhand.
A lot of them were just stuntmen.
Yeah, stuntmen that they recruited to go ahead and play Jason.
Yeah, like they were on set for other reasons, and they're like, hey, you just throw on the mask and be in the scene. Like, part 2 and part 4 was Tom Savini, and he wouldn't have been except for... They didn't have their guy.
He was a special effects guy.
You know,
he was there.
They just needed somebody to stand in for a second. And they said, for example, there's a blooper in, I think it's part 4, where Jason's hands are always messed up, like they're zombie hands, or you know they're jacked up. But Tom Savini just kind of jumped in to play Jason real quick and threw on the mask, and they didn't make up his hands, so he's got like these normal looking hands, like doing his thing.
But that's it for our new business tonight.
Yeah, you gotta, when you mention his name's gonna be Josh, you're familiar with Aleister Crowley.
Yeah.
That was not his real name. He's, you know, proper up upscale Brit. His name was something like Horace Gumpf or something, you know. Like, but he called himself Aleister Crowley, and he was kind of a linguist. And he was saying, if you want to be famous, you have to have a certain cadence to your name. And so certain names don't work. That's why you try to, you know. So for him, it was like Aleister Crowley. Like, it's just da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Yeah, when you're like, his name was supposed to be Josh, like, and
it wouldn't have worked.
It had to have been Joshua. It had to have been Joshua. Right. It couldn't have been Josh. But then again, at the same time, they weren't planning for a sequel or for Jason to be...
Yeah, he was supposed to be in the second one. It was supposed to be a series of different stories.
All right.
Could you imagine Friday the 13th without Jason?
No. Well, Halloween 3. Like, how much of a mistake was that?
Right.
I mean...
Take it away, Michael Myers.
It was a good movie by itself if it would have been named, you know... Silver Shamrock or something, but
there's a fan film I gotta check out. I found it earlier. I haven't watched it yet, but somebody made a fan film of Michael Myers versus Jason.
Oh yeah,
which sounds like it'd be like maybe pretty bad.
Have you seen those ones that are like Wolverine versus Wonder Woman and stuff? Like,
yeah,
I don't know who makes those, but
they do an excellent job with it.
Their costumes and their makeup and their special effects are insane.
The Batman versus Deadpool of that series is really, really cool.
Did you see Batman versus Darth Vader?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's good.
Okay,
it's really, really good.
I know the folks you're talking about. I can't remember the name of their little group, because they started off where they do a poll with people asking who you think would win, and they go through, and then they play the actual movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the ending is determined by how the poll results went.
Yeah.
They're really cool.
Yeah, the Wolverine versus Wonder Woman, she throws him into the volcano and just melts him.
I believe they had a Wolverine versus Predator as well.
Mm, they did.
Yep. Which is pretty badass.
Yeah, it was good. All right, so shall we go back to 1990? Or do you want to start?
Honestly, this movie blew me away so much, we might as well just talk about it.
Let's do it. So we just witnessed the reboot, the remake, the proper making of the Stephen King novel, It. When I said we want to go back to 1990, is because in 1990 they did a made-for-TV miniseries that, among us horror aficionados, is top-notch.
Yeah.
Like,
even for a made-for-TV movie, it was excellent.
It was scary. Like you say, even for a made-for-TV movie, it was frightening. And Tim Curry put in a once-in-a-lifetime performance as Pennywise. So whenever they said they were remaking It, a lot of us sat there and went, oh, man.
Like, and honestly, you know, up to the movie started, I did not think that they'd be able to recreate his performance as Pennywise in the original movie.
Right. But... What was the old Living Color? The men on film? Or they like, hated it or loved it? Dude, totally loved it.
Oh, yeah, it was incredible.
I want to see it again. It is a... Well, let's just talk about it. Okay, right from the openings, when they're still showing, the New Line Cinema logo and the music starts, it just has this this mood.
Yeah.
All the way through it, that it just it sets you on edge.
And it's another thing I loved about this one is the original one moved a little slow at times. This one never slowed down the entire movie.
No, it didn't let you rest.
No.
Now, we're not going to really spoil it.
We're going to try not to. Do our best.
We're going to talk about some things that are...
Well known.
Well, unique to this version and the book... that were not in the original miniseries, in a lot of cases, probably for being allowed to be on TV.
Right.
Like, they couldn't show a lot of this stuff because it was just too scary.
Or they couldn't bring it to the level that it was brought in with the movie.
Right. But, you know, the story of It, and, you know, we're not going to spoil it. It's, the books came out in the early 80s. Mm. It's, you know, 40-some years old. 1990 was 27 years ago. So the movie has been out for almost 30 years, and then this one just came out, and it's number one movie in America. It is about a monster that eats children.
Plain and, their fear and eats children. That's
plain and simple.
Itself.
And its primary form that it takes is that of a clown. Clowns attract children. They, you know, children like them, or they're scared of them.
Right.
And the thing feeds on the fear more than the actual flesh.
And it determines what the thing is that you're afraid of most.
Right. It finds what you're afraid of, and that's what it appears as. Now, in the original movie series, he didn't do that so much. There was a couple of callbacks to the book with some little scenes here and there, some like the diner scene when there's like the eyeballs in the soup or whatever. Yeah. There's actually something in the book that kind of discusses that particular thing, and that was just kind of a wink and a nudge to people who have read the book, like, yeah, oh, that's what we're seeing. This one, no way. There are straight up headless monsters running around library hallways.
Yeah.
And
paintings coming to life.
There's seven kids. All seven of them have individually frightening moments, you know, encounters with Pennywise. Not to mention some of the other kids that are not part of our main little group of characters.
They have to deal with it.
They have to deal with them as well. I am just astounded at how damn good this movie was.
It was great. You have to see it.
It was, it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, we actually, on our way out, we passed by the other theater that was showing, a screen that was showing the same movie, and someone had threw up all over the outside wall of it. So, you can imagine they didn't quite make it to the bathroom, but they made it out of the theater at least.
The girl that was sitting next to me had her face buried in her boyfriend's armpit most of the time.
Special effects are great. Practical effects are great.
They use jump scares. There's a lot of jump scares. Some people think the jump scares in horror movies are cheap. I think jump scares at the expense of story are cheap. But whenever you're watching a movie about things that scare you, it's by any means necessary.
Basically, some of the jump scares that got me, I should have expected them.
Right.
And they shouldn't have got me.
Well, exactly. Like, when the balloon's right in front of you and you know it's going to pop, and it pops and you jump anyway.
Right.
Like, all of the acting, all of the characters, all of the kids, the acting, again, just top notch, totally believable. I mean, there's nothing cheesy about it. They are moved forward in time. So the original book started in the, it was like, happened in the 50s and then in the 80s.
Right, because they go into the second part as adults.
Right. So this actually moved it forward. So
it put them as children in the 80s.
Yeah. So every 27 years he comes back. So whenever they come out with the second movie, it'll be now.
Right.
It'll be in modern times.
Right.
So it'll be current.
So, see, this one was 1988, so that's going to be 2017.
Well, no, it was...
No, 2000... Because they said it was in 1988. That was the setting of the movie.
No, Georgie died in 1988.
Right, yeah, you're right.
It was in 1989.
Okay.
Whenever they were all separating at the end, it was September of 89.
So it'd be 2016, whenever the next one takes place.
Yeah. So, good stuff. So, if you like seeing small children getting just devoured
and terrorized
by hungry beasts, one of the things that was never made quite clear in the original series is one of the phrases that goes through the film is like, they all float down here. Yep. You'll float. They float.
Yes. They definitely float in this movie.
I just can't think of, like, I can't not say enough good stuff about it.
Yeah, there's nothing bad that they did.
And when we talk about scary movies and how scary is subjective, this has everything. This has blood and gore. It has jump scares. It has creeps. It has parents that are just not paying attention. So it's one of those things where it's like the Jeffrey Dahmer thing, where it's like you run and ask for help and they just ignore you and a little balloon pops up. Like, you're on your own here.
Right.
And you're stuck with this clown, this monster, this whatever it actually chooses to be. Then you have the bullies. They're well rendered as well.
Yes.
Like, they were pretty menacing.
And it ends up being where the kids have to decide, you know, what's worse, dealing with these bullies or dealing with Pennywise.
Right.
You know, which way do you go with this? And also the growth of the children in the movie as far as them, you know, overcoming everything.
Right.
It's very well done. The acting was excellent.
And how do you realize that this monster feeds on fear? So in order to defeat it, you have to not be scared. But then you've got like this 20-foot monster with like an entire ear, nose, and throat full of teeth,
just rows
like,
and rows of
looming
teeth.
On you and dripping blood on your face, and you're like, I'm not scared of you. Like, yeah, right. Like, I'm not even in that room, and I'm scared for you. You're gonna get eaten, kiddo.
And by the way, the rumors of someone that passed away during a screening of it in Louisiana have been debunked. Just there's a low urban legend running around right
oh,
now.
Really?
Somebody died this past weekend during a screening. But yeah, there's been a couple of horror news websites fell for it. And I actually did articles about it and stuff. But it has been debunked to where that is not the case.
Well, I know
it is scary, but it hasn't killed anybody.
Well, I know Stephen King himself was just going gaga over it. I mean, if I was him, I'd be pretty proud, too.
Oh, yeah.
I read that book when I was in high school, I believe. I read it. I was just on a Stephen King kick, so it was just next in line. It's still up there with one of the scariest books I've ever read. And this movie did it justice.
Now, one thing that I'd love to discuss a little bit is, you know, this movie's number one in the country right now. It has had the biggest weekend opening of any horror movie ever. Hollywood has been shit this year. They've been just bleeding because they're not making any money on movies.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting is the fact that this is probably going to do a turn in Hollywood where we're going to get some serious R-rated horror movies coming out?
That would be awesome.
Because that's the way they do it. Whatever they see successful, they jump on it and run with it.
Like with Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let's make a funny R-rated horror.
Comic book movie.
Then we got Suicide Squad, which right. I enjoyed Suicide Squad, but a lot of people gave it a lot of hell for attempting to be funny when it really wasn't.
Right.
But yeah, maybe they'll start going to some dark territory.
Yeah. Now, I hope they don't try to do a whole bunch of remakes, but I hope that it opens up the door to a lot of young directors and new directors and their ideas being put to the big screen by major studios. You know,
right.
That's a big part of it. You know, independent horror movies are great, and there's some incredible independent horror movies. There's also a lot of independent horror movies that would be so much better if a major studio would back it.
If they had some money.
Right.
You know, and got some... I mean, again, not to knock the directors, but you get some A-level talent in there
right.
helming the theater. You know, because I think of some of the scarier movies out there, you know, like Sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Sinister could have been a great independent film,
right.
But it just had that little bump up, and it was rated R,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't afraid to go to some dark places,
right.
And it was excellent, you know.
Yeah.
The first movie since It that kept me up thinking about it at night, you know, that night that I first saw it,
mm-hmm.
and I was like laying there like couldn't sleep because the clown will eat me. Sinister, same thing. Just like, oh my god, that thing is evil.
Right.
You know. Maybe they'll bring it back. I mean, if you look at a lot of the stuff that we love from the 80s, you know, Friday the 13th and Halloween and all this stuff. I mean, they weren't really taken seriously, but they did have major backing and they made money.
Right.
You know, so anybody going up to the studio and being like, hey, I want to make another Friday the 13th movie, there was somebody peeling off bills. Like, okay, let's go ahead and go ahead and get the lights and, you know, start signing checks. Let's make it happen.
Right.
But then Hollywood got squeamish about rated R movies.
Yeah, they wanted to go ahead and try to... They were banking on the dollars of kids.
But the thing is, they were making the dollars off the kids anyway. I think that the law or something got stricter, mm-hmm. so kids couldn't, because we didn't used to care. You know, we'd just go see it anyway.
Right. Well, see, the difference is, like, let's say you have a movie. If kids are buying a ticket for this PG movie to go see your R-rated movie, R-rated movie still looks like it's not making any money because the ticket sale went to this one. So you start, it starts looking like all these PG movies are making more money than the actual R-rated movies, even though it's not the ones that people are seeing.
True.
So, it, you know, in order to funnel the money where it's supposed to be, to the specific projects from the studios, they got to lower the age that the tickets are sold.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to stop doing that. They need to bring back the R-rated horror.
And with the success of this one, they just might.
And I don't know, this one too is like an apex. Like, this one was scary all the way through.
Yeah.
It didn't ever let you breathe. It was jump scare after creep after jump scare and scene change and oh my god, he's right behind you. And I mean, it didn't let you go until the very end. And then they're like, oh, this is only part one.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I mean, we knew this, but still.
You know? Yeah, you wanted the ride to continue.
Absolutely. 2 hour long movie, felt like it was about 45 minutes long.
Yeah, because it never slowed down.
And, you know, looking for a proper place to go pee was damn near impossible. should not have had a beer before that show. I'm spent, man. What else you got to talk about?
Let's see. What else do we have going on? I don't know, man. Just been working, just still trying to get back to normal life after Harvey.
Yeah. Well, didn't you say you're shutting down Funhouse?
Yeah, Funland is going to be taking a break for a little bit. It'll be Fun Storage Unit for a little while.
Well, you know, we'll still have a place. We'll still be able to record somewhere.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
There just won't be a passive aggressive pig and fainting goat.
Fainting goat to talk about in the backyard.
Oh man! For tonight, this is a movie review, and without just going scene by scene and explaining everything and making you just wish that you had gone see the movie instead of listening to us, I think we're gonna go ahead and cut it, you know, it's a little bit short today. We'll be back to our regular recording schedule
the following episode.
We're gonna get a couple in the hopper and try to get ahead of ourselves. We had some stuff that was already recorded that carried us through the whole hurricane thing, and then we both just for those of you who are not from Houston, okay, you're from a city anyway, and you understand that there are arteries of traffic that run through your city east, west, and north and south. On the west side of Houston, where we both live, all of the north-south arteries got cut off, as well as all of the through streets. So
it has been hell getting from one side of town to the other.
If you live, like, from where I am right now, if you live a mile to the south, You literally had to drive like 45 miles in a big giant circle to go out past all of the damage, go south across the bridge, come back far, far south from where you live, and then come back up north, giant square. People driving 2.5-3 hours to make it like a mile and a half in traffic's just been horrendous.
Right.
So we haven't been able to like really kind of meet up and do our normal thing. All of that stuff is in the process of being fixed. A lot of it's fixed, a lot of it's still kind of jacked up, but by this time next week we should be about good.
Right. You know, just speaking of storms, have you been keeping up with the, not Florida, but the damage going on in the islands? Some really scary stories coming out of there right now.
I've heard it's really bad.
Some of these islands where, you know, there's one 600 prisoners escaped. And they became weaponized. They went ahead and found guns and everything. And they were going to these hotels door to door where these tourists were holed up, just robbing them in their rooms.
Oh, wow.
And there's all these stories of these tourists that just basically barricaded themselves in their rooms for days, just trying to stay alive.
Oof.
Yeah, there's some really, really, they're in a bad way down that way, man. They had to bring in because, you know, some of these are territories of England and France and stuff. They had to send in, the Dutch military even had to go down to where I want to say I know England sent like 500 troops or something down there to their territories to try to restore order and stuff.
Oh wow!
And they were stopping, like one soldier said every 10 minutes he was having to stop another looter. It was just non. It's just it's they're in pretty bad shape out that way.
And it was only about a third as bad as they said it was going
to
be.
Yeah, but it's still. I mean, those places aren't built to withstand such a. And you can't run. This one, you know, back in the day, I spent a month in Dominican Republic. Oh, I thought about living there. I wanted to move. And then I started thinking about two things. Both began with an H. Haiti and hurricanes.
Yep.
Because there's nowhere you can go. And I decided not to stay. And that's one of the reasons, you know, just the shape they're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, anything that's not really, like, heavy-duty concrete. I mean,
they live in shanties. You know, the pictures you see in the brochures are beautiful, but the towns, you know, the areas where the locals live, it's shacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And they've lost everything.
It gets just picked up and blown in the water.
Yeah.
No, I mean, island life sounds great until hurricanes come.
Right.
You know? I mean, what is hurricane season, like 4 to 6 months? Depending on the weather and stuff, but
right.
You know, we're still in the height of it. Well, you know, here not too long ago, there was what, like 5 hurricanes and the
yeah, boom, boom, boom. They just kept coming.
It's just insanity. And then we've been dealing with this one for coming on 3 weeks now.
And you still got a ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
Still got a long ways to go, man.
No more hurricanes. Let's get back to scary things that we can laugh about because it was on the TV.
Right. That's another thing. I was with packing up the house and everything. I've been pulling all my Halloween decorations out to get them ready for the show. So, you know, we'll have Jason Voorhees there in the house. We'll have some zombie bait over in the house. We'll have all kind of creepy things to maybe give some people a few little jumps.
Nice. Yeah, I stopped into a spirit store earlier today because I had a few minutes before an appointment. And she's like, I mean, it was pretty well stocked. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of holes. But she's like, I'm sorry, we're gonna get a lot more stuff. We had some trucks that didn't make it because of the storm, so they had some neat stuff. They have this one that's like a jumping spider.
Oh yeah, I've seen those before.
I don't know why. I know what it does. I'm not scared of spiders anyway. That thing always gets me. It always jumps, and I'm always like, bleh. Freaking spider. Yeah, I need to, my daughter's been bugging me and wants to get the Halloween decorations down and start doing it. And she's like, it's cool outside, it's time to do. I'm like, yep.
That's one thing, we have had some beautiful weather since the storm.
Yeah, we have.
I mean, fall arrived all of a sudden.
Hopefully, you know, it's going to be a nice fall. Just kind of give it a little time for all the mud and the muck to go away and, eh.
And we got the show to look forward to.
That's it. Scary Dad's Haunted Halloween Show. Saturday, October 14th. Oh, yeah. And Alamo Drafthouse is playing Friday the 13th on Friday the 13th. So go see that in Mason Park and then come see us the next day. And we'll be playing Part 3 in 3D with 3D glasses.
We'll have the good old school blue and red 3D glasses for your viewing pleasure.
And with that, I think we're going to call that an episode. Go and see it. Now that the show is over, you've listened to your Scary Dad episode, go and
see it. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Go see it right now.
If you did see it, we're going to see it again. Go see it again.
I need to find that heavy metal song that they were playing when they were throwing the rocks.
Oh, dude, I was about to start. My hands automatically start moving in the air guitar. Yeah. Dude, it was nuts, man.
Anyway, guys, that's it. We'll talk to you later on.
Later.
anybody any slack. And if you try to keep us down, we're gonna come right back. And you know when. We're gonna do our thing, 'cause you know it ain't over.